welcome to a Listen to Older Voices Golden Moments program. I'm brought to you through the Toorak Times. This is a repeat program from our archives that we believe has merit enough to rebroadcast so that the story and the person's life can be shared with those who may have missed it the first time.
This is a special Baby Boomers edition. Hello, I'm Rob Greaves and welcome to part one of a two-part story on the life and times of Libby Thomas. Born in Melbourne in 1960, Libby's on the cusp of the baby boomer generation, a generation that's had such a significant influence on our lives over the past 50 years. Libby has an effervescent personality, and that becomes very clear as she relates her beliefs and her recollections. Under her family's influence, Libby has valued education and travel. But, as we'll learn, it's music that's her passion, not so much as a musician, but as a mentor and a promoter. Her early years consisted of moving from one city to another due to her father's work in hospital administration. Studying hard, she was offered a hairdressing apprenticeship, but quickly realised it wasn't her calling. Eventually, she moved into hospital administration herself and undertook a nursing diploma. She travelled broadly with her father and then on her own. We learn how she meets Mike, her husband, but it's her story of how the music bug bit her and how that set up her life that features heavily in the last part of this week's story and in most of part two. So without much more ado, here I am talking with Libby. Lib, thanks for coming on the program. And could I start by asking you, when were you born and whereabouts were you born?
I was born at the Bethesda Hospital in 1960, August the 13th, and my parents had just built their first home down in Mordialloc, so that's where my life started.
Well, do you remember anything about that first home?
I do. I remember being, it was a court and there were lots of kids, and, you know, from a baby, I was four when we left. My father got a scholarship to a university in Sydney, so at four and a half we left there. But many memories of just kids running riot in this court. Perfect place to grow up. I remember being bathed in the sink by the nanny, the council nanny. I remember going to kindergarten. That was just down at the end of the road, the main road there. And I remember, I think I must have had deficit disorder because I remember running around the playground, wasn't interested in sitting down, or is it ADHD these days? I remember not being interested in sitting down quietly and being read to or anything. You know, I was just interested in running around and playing in the playground.
Were you genuinely an active girl?
Yeah, I was. Loved climbing trees and riding my bike and little athletics and, all that sort of stuff. Tennis, that sort of thing, which has probably come down in my adulthood, but as you do, you get busy, you get distracted. I think it's a luxury if I can hear someone say, oh, I'm going to the gym today. To me, that's a luxury. I don't have time. So, you know, that, I suppose that's, you know, it's a great memory having a childhood and saying, yes, you were active and doing all those things kids don't seem to do anymore.
About Mum and Dad, what was Mum like?
Oh, the epitome of a mother. She's awesome. She was nurturing. She was supportive. She wanted me very much. She had miscarriages before I came along. She's a very stressed woman. She had a career and, you know, I think in the end she got me and then 5 years later my sister was born and she was a surprise. So I think stress played a lot of, you know, had a lot of play with Mum not being relaxed enough. And, you know, I've found that out trying to have children of my own.
Yeah.
So it taught me that, yes, you have to just step out. If you want to have a family, you've got to step out a bit and, you know, go into yourself. Be broody.
Okay. What about Dad? What sort of man was Dad?
Dad, well, he was a perpetual student, we used to call him. He was studying when they got married and then continued to study. He was studying accountancy. He was with the Health Commission at the time. I remember as a young child, we used to wave Dad off in the Red Rattler at Morty Alex Station. And he'd go into work, he'd study at night. Then we got this scholarship up to Sydney and we all had to leave and go up to Sydney. Shh, Daddy's studying. Beautiful man, very sensitive, quite vulnerable. As we found out later, this woman came along and took him away from the family and it was a complete disaster. So I love my dad, miss him like hell. He died 14 years ago, 15 years ago. So, you know, it wasn't an ideal family, but we did the best we could. And, you know, as we know, usually it happens to a lot of people.
How old were you when you went to Sydney?
I was 4.
Do you have any recollections of going there?
I definitely do. I still go to the house that day, up these days, whenever I go to Sydney. We lived in Coogee. Dad was at the University of New South Wales. He was doing hospital administration, doing a master's. And, yeah, lovely memories of being on Coogee Beach and going to Clontarf Beach. And with my grandmother, she'd come up from Melbourne and see us. And, yeah, great memories of Randwick and going over the bridge in the old Valiant station wagon. Oh, no, it was the Austin then. And those 60s times when, you know, everyone was free and happy. And
it was a very laid-back period,
very laid-back period.
What about school? Did you enjoy going to school?
I did. I love school. I went to Coogee Bay State School at 4 and a half.
That's young.
Yeah, that's very young. And I remember getting my fingers slammed in the toilet door.
Oh.
I remember my mother, with her canteen duty, they butter crust of bread they used for the sandwiches at lunchtime, and they'd do this thing under the school where you'd go and pay, I think, a sixpence for an ice cream. And, you know, I really sort of, I suppose it's kitsch now, but I guess that's where kitsch started. You know, it was, yeah, it was a great time. Oh, I remember having my tonsils out there at the Randwick Hospital. And then we moved to Echuca. My father got his first appointment as CEO of the Echuca Hospital. So then we moved from a big city to a country situation. That was interesting too.
How did you feel about that? Because at that stage, had you started to form friendships in Sydney?
Yes, I did. Mainly with one of my father's fellow students and colleagues. And Maz and I got, you know, kept in touch until we were probably in our teens. And then that slowly drifted away. Then they ended up, I think, in Mildura or somewhere, Swan Hill. And, you know, you just form other relationships with the students you have there. So I was sort of used to saying goodbye to a lot of friends and then making more. And that happened in my life. That's happened all my life. So it's, and then those that you cling to, you cling to.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in their lives forever.
So you find yourself in Echuca. This is a long way from the beach.
Yes.
Did that sort of strike you, or did you just take the whole thing in your stead?
Took the whole thing. We're over the road from the public swimming pool. We had the river, so we'd go and have picnics on the river. Dad would burn the sausages, put the AeroGuard all over the sausages and steaks, keep away the flies. I don't know if you've ever been up there, Rob, but it's very fly-stricken when you're in the summer up there. Very dusty as well.
So you would have gone to school in Echuca as well.
I did, yeah.
Was that a different experience to the city school for a young girl? Or again, was it just, you just accepted it?
Just accepted it. Really started getting into reading then. I'm still an avid reader, so my earliest memories were just whipping through, you know, all the readers and things. And that was the year the decimal currency came in. So I remember having to, you know, relearn. It was so easy being in tens.
Yes.
So, yeah, that was another significant time.
Yes.
Yeah, in one's life.
In come the dollars, in come the cents, to replace the pounds and the shillings and the pence. Be prepared, folks, when the coins begin to mix on the 14th of February 1966.
and this is Listen to Older Voices, Ageless Stories on Ageless Radio.
I'm Rob Greaves, and I'm talking with Libby Thomas.
How long were you in Echuca for?
I think it was 2 years, Rob, from memory. And then we moved, Dad got an appointment at St George's Hospital in Kew. So then we moved to Kew, and I went to his Kew State School. And it was my first time ever we had to live in a flat because we were looking for a house to buy or rent. That was significant as well. And being right across the road from the school and having a little baby sister, she was about, 2 then.
Mm-hmm. That would have been difficult for you as an active child to be in a flat, wouldn't it? No, in that backyard.
I mean, it was a huge flat, but it was still, it was still hard. And, the principal of the school there didn't like me at all. I have many torturous memories of her picking on me, steel-edge rulers, getting measles, missing out on the school play that I was desperate to. I was going to be a ballerina in Coppelia or something, and so a lot of childhood heartbreaks and learning curves there. So I've gotten the prime part in the school play, and I was diagnosed with chickenpox.
Oh no.
The night before I was to go and rehearse. So that was really disappointing. Oh.
Because that's a big deal for a kid.
It is. It is. And being able to wear a tutu, that would, even though I was a bit of a tomboy, that was my first sort of reaching out to my femininity, as a 6 or 7 year old. It's like, anyway. So stuff happens, doesn't it, Rob?
It does happen, indeed.
Yes, and then we got out of the flat, found a house to rent in Hartwood Street, which was a wonderful house. My mother loved it. And we purchased, then they found the house and that Mum and Dad had purchased in Mont Albert. So, over a 2.5-3 year period, I think it was 2.5 years, long time ago, we ended up in Mont Albert. So then I ended up at Mont Albert Primary School.
My goodness, that's a lot of schools.
Yes.
Especially for a primary age child.
Yes, yes. And started grade 2 there. And
hang on, can I come check you out? Grade 2. So
I'd sort of gone from Echuca, because I'd started school early in New South Wales. I ended up in upper grade 1 in Echuca, and that was halfway through. And then grade 1 again. At Kew. So maybe it was only there like a year. See, it's really hard.
Yeah.
So way back. And then started grade 2 at Mont Albert. But I was quite ahead, so I don't know how quite that'll work, but I think it had a lot to do with New South Wales end, starting school so early. But yes, grade 2 at Mont Albert, another traumatic time. The worst teacher you could possibly get. Once again, I got picked on. I remember the whole year I was in the corner most of the time.
Oh, great. What a good way to learn.
Yes, exactly. Because I wasn't tying the plastic on the coat hangers. She was really into teaching children how to do arts and crafts. And she was horrendous. She was one of these real sadistic types, Ms. Papard, I'll never forget her. And I accidentally tripped her up in the bus and nearly broke her nose in the end. That was a few years later. So I think karma got her very nicely. But yes, that was a traumatic start to that one.
Did you stay at that school for very long, or was this part of an ongoing change?
Well, see, reached grade 6, then off to the girls' school.
Ah.
Off to the grammar school. So.
Which one?
Strathcona.
Has a good name.
Yes, it does, but it was very Victorian in my day, and I couldn't handle it at all.
What, strict?
Very. Couldn't. If you talk to boys, you're almost, put into isolation for a week.
How old were you then, roughly?
So I started there 13, year 7, yeah. So another shock, traumatic shock. Yes, so being very Victorian school was then, the teachers were very conservative.
Yeah.
With the black robes and the mortar boards almost. And it was...
Not an experience that you've held dear to you.
No. I would have been better off at Coonan High or Swinburne or something like that.
But did you see it right the way through at that school?
No, I left Form 5. I think it was after Term 1. I can't quite remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, roughly. And I was offered a hairdressing apprenticeship. And I took it because I thought, oh, yeah, it doesn't thrill me that much, but I've been offered it. So I did that all the way through. In fact, I got 6 months taken off my apprenticeship because my marks at college were over 75%. And I was very good at science, so I probably got the highest score known to man. It was Victorian Uni now, but it was the Melbourne's College of Hairdressing. That's right. And I just thought, after the studies were finished, I can't do this for the rest of my life.
I'm not surprised. No. You're either called to it or you're not, and you weren't called to it.
I was not. So what did I do after that? I think I travelled a bit, from memory. Lived in Brisbane for a while.
Was this on your own or with your family?
On my own.
So you're now breaking away.
So I branched out. Branching out. And eventually I ended up back in Melbourne at my father's hospital. He offered me, I think I had started some sort of course then. I can't remember what it is now. And he offered me working in the kitchen on the weekends. Lots of money. You've got triple time and a half on a Sunday. And so I decided I'm going to save to go overseas. And I was doing my occupational health and safety course then. And, you know, it's very, you know, favourable to have a father, you know, in the top position. So I was offered a occupational health and safety advisory cadetship at the hospital. So I was doing that course. And after I'd done that, I thought, well, I might do a nursing, diploma, because I was dealing with nurses and the nursing staff most of the time.
And this is Listen to Older Voices, a program that presents the stories of everyday Australians through the recollection of their lives.
So the nursing profession?
Yeah, it did, because I was really interested in the science of medicine.
Right.
And anyway, I finished that, it was an 8-year period.
That's a long time.
Yeah, it is a long time. And I've worked just about in every department in the hospital, medical records, ward clerking, you know, just as part of the experience for the OHS. And the nursing part, I just managed to finish, but decided to not pursue it. I'd had enough. Yeah. I'd had enough. The politics there, you know, to dealing with patients that weren't being, you know, looked after properly because of the constraints of the system. So I went overseas.
On your own?
On my own. With my father initially. We'd been over there on a few conferences because I was part of the board of management then. So I just got the calling to go on my own. My girlfriend, my best friend, she was over there in a one-bedroom apartment with four girls, and she said, oh, come on over, live, you know, have a lot of fun. And we did. We had a ball.
How old were you then, roughly?
So I was 27 by then.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely ready to have a bit of fun.
Ready to have fun. I was really interested in the theatre, so the music side, because I ended up years later doing a 2-year course in theatre, music theatre. So I was really into that over there. So every chance I'd get, we'd go and see a play or a musical. I think Les Mis were, that was the first production of Les Mis then in London. So things like that just followed on. And my father followed me over and said, Liv, I think you've had enough time overseas, because I'd been to Canada and lived there for 3 months as well. Flew back to London, thought, oh, maybe it's time to go home. So it was, I think, a 12-month period. And so we went on this trip. We went across Canada on via train, and we went here and went there. And
what did you think of Canada?
Oh, it's fantastic. I loved it.
What was it about Canada that you liked so much?
Oh, it's very much like Australia, but of course the climate's totally different. One of the girls I'd met at the hospital was Canadian, and we just clicked, and she asked me over there, and they wanted me to stay, but because I just turned 27, I was too old to go on a student sort of visa-y thing.
Yes.
And because I was sort of, I'd finished studying, but I don't think I'd registered my nursing, and I didn't really want to nurse there anyway, because their system was very good compared to ours. And, you know, I wanted to be a bit more footloose and fancy free. I got a really good job in London in IT, a resource IT. So I was doing computer work and making graphs for their resource department.
Were you literate in terms of technology at that stage?
Yes, I was, because I made a point of getting a job in my uncle's factory, and he put me on the computer and said, yep, if you can work it out, you'll be right. And I did. And so I went over with those computer skills. So that put me in good stead for, yeah, whatever.
Mm.
So I was basically able to pick up any form of work. And it was a great experience, Rob. You know, so do any young child, you know, in between uni or whatever. Do your gap year and go over and get out and get amongst it.
Yes.
Yes.
Of course, it was a lot safer then, wasn't it?
It was, indeed. I remember walking down Brixton Hill Road, which was a very notorious suburb back in those days. It was probably a few years after the Brixton riots, but I felt quite safe. Although one of my friends did end up getting mugged the first night she was there, but they were a bit silly. They weren't looking around and, you know, I think they spent too much time at the local. So they didn't have their wits about them. So, but, yeah, it certainly taught me about self-awareness and being a woman, and also being very independent as well.
Yes.
Yes.
And this is Listen to Older Voices, a program that presents the stories of everyday Australians through the recollection of their lives.
It sounded like things were going really well in England. I mean, you've got friends there, you've got a job there, this life's pretty good. What brought you back to Australia?
Oh, I thought it was time to come back and do a bit more study. So that's what happened. I mean, Mark and I travel a lot before we had children. So, you know, we'd go away for months at a time. I guess in my mind, I knew that was not the end of my travelling side. So, I don't know, I can't really remember what brought me back. I guess I miss my mum. I miss my parents. I miss my friends. They'd all come back because they'd been over there a couple of years. So, yeah, I felt it was time.
Just time.
Yeah. Just time.
Now, you mentioned Mike, that's your husband.
Yes.
When did you meet Mike and how did you meet him?
Right. Well, Mike and I met through our tennis clubs and we had mutual friends. And I just finished my stint up in Sydney at Clive Shakespeare's recording studio. We were mentoring bands together, or he was helping me. I'd come back after 6 months of being with a bunch of musicians, living with a bunch of musicians. And I wasn't particularly interested in forming a relationship. You know, my head was in, you know, the music career road. Anyway, we did meet through mutual friends and the rest is history.
How long did it take you looking at this man to go, I think this is the man I want to spend my life with? Was it quick or did it take time to develop?
Both. Because I remember looking at him. He was in his tennis outfit and he rolled up to a friend's house. And it was the girl, one of the girls I was in England with. Yeah, it was just like this, oh, yeah, he's interesting. Yeah, we just became really good friends and then...
How long were you in a relationship before you got married?
2 years.
Which today is a fairly long time.
It is, it is. I think we decided to get engaged after the first year for the next year.
Right.
Yeah. Don't know why, because we were, you know, in our mid to late 30s, so I don't know. I guess we wanted to, well, I wanted to make sure.
Now, you mentioned music, and that's obviously played a very large part in your life. So what I'd like to do is go roll the film right back again and say to you, you were born in the 60s, which is when in Australia and certainly overseas, things were really happening, changes, big changes, particularly in music and society.
Mm.
When did you first become aware of this thing called music? When did you first sort of become aware that there was something you were enjoying about music? Was it young or did it take a while?
Young. I would have been 6 or 7. Our whole family took a trip to Mildura. And I remember hearing the Beatles for the first time on the soundtrack. before the film starts. So the prelude to the film, they played I Should Have Known Better by the Beatles. I was in love. And from that moment on, the music bug bit me, that was it. I had to pursue this immense sound, this whole culture. And, you know, as I got older, the whole thing just mixed in together. The culture, the music, the pop art that came with it, the graphics, album covers, just the whole thing. I wanted to be part of this very interesting movement.
What age were you when you were allowed to go out and actually explore music for yourself? Was it a very young age?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
I remember telling Daryl Braithwaite this. He said, oh, how old were you when you first went out and about? And I said, well, mate, I was 12 when I first saw Sherbet.
Wow.
And we didn't know any different. It was down at the local Q Town Hall,
yes.
Which was Q Club.
Yes, yes.
We had no idea it was adults only. Well, there was liquor there or anything. We just went to see the bands.
Join Libby and I next week to learn how her passion for music turned into a career. Learn more about that career, as well as her life as a mother and wife. Libby freely shares her concerns and her desires for the future that she would like to see for a son, hopes that I think we all would share. That's next week, Libby Thomas on Listen to Older Voices. Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program on behalf of Wesley Mission Victoria. The program is supported by financial assistance from the Commonwealth Government through the Commonwealth Home Support Program and is brought to you through the Toorak Times.